God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
Created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home, our forever home, is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom of the new heaven and the new earth. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. We talked yesterday, and I mentioned both my caring and not caring about Super Tuesday. I hope that wasn't too confusing. I care because I'm an American. I love our country. I vote. I'm an engaged citizen. I don't care because we're not going to be rescued by Washington, D.C. I care because I want my daughter to grow up in a country that's not this one. I mean, geographically, yeah, I'd like her to stay here. But I would like her to not grow up in a country that's so obviously corrupt. And the corrosion, at some point, corrosion becomes permanent. Right? It does. And I don't care because she's not a citizen. She's a visitor. If she lives her life the right way, she'll find her forever home with Jesus Christ, like you will, because it's a free gift of redemption given us through the blood of Christ. And I spent a lot of time being equipped by God to work in politics, or by working in politics, being equipped by God to talk about politics. And I think to explain some things that are going on behind the scenes that only now am I beginning to understand, because God is opening to me the reality of the spiritual world. Now, none of that means that we're not going to talk a little politics. Let's do it. Let's talk about Super Tuesday. I woke up this morning to a Fox headline that was funny. Nikki Haley. Not yet ready to endorse President Trump, but says that Trump must earn the votes of her supporters. Yes, President Trump must earn the votes of the 1,800 people who voted for Nikki Haley in Washington, D.C. I kid. I know there's people listening who voted for Nikki Haley. I respect your decision, even if I don't agree, Nikki Haley being a globalist and all. But there was also this. Fox said that this clears the way. Nikki Haley concedes and clears the way for President Trump to seize the nomination. Well, that was a foregone conclusion. Nikki Haley never had a chance at this. People really hate being stolen from. Really hate it. And if you have your car stolen from you and the insurance company says, yeah, we'll get you another car, don't you kind of want your original car back? I liked the seats. A lot of people feel the election was stolen. I feel it was. I know it was rigged. It's inarguable that it was rigged. But yeah, let's talk Super Tuesday. Congressman Byron Donalds and Marjorie Taylor Greene's comments in Super Tuesday, they said this thing's over. Both do not look forward to Nikki Haley next year.
Well, listen, it's a great night tonight at Mar-a-Lago. It's good to see you, my friend. How are you?
How are you? Great to see you, Byron.
And, look, I'm ready for a big night. It's already that way. I think he's already halfway towards the number of delegates needed for the nomination. I mean, this thing's over. Let's call it what it is.
Dominating.
If it's in sports terms, this season's over, game over. We'll look forward for next year for Nikki Haley and all the other Republicans.
Not sure that's going to happen, but you know, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Put her in retirement.
Yeah, put her in retirement. Thank you, Byron Donalds.
There is a deal somewhere for Nikki Haley. There is. She's been given something for staying in the race this long. Am I providing false witness? Maybe I am treading on that, so I should be careful. It is my assessment, my experience tells me there's a deal already in place. This is simple pattern recognition. I've watched it happen with RNC chair people, etc. I've just seen it. There's always something. So Nikki Haley will not probably disappear. She may end up on MSNBC. President Trump celebrated the Super Tuesday victory at Mar-a-Lago. And it's a very Trumpian statement. They call it Super Tuesday for a reason.
USA! USA! Well, thank you very much. They call it Super Tuesday for a reason. This is a big one. And they tell me, the pundits and otherwise, that there's never been one like this. There's never been anything so conclusive. This was an amazing night, an amazing day. It's been an incredible period of time in our country's history. It's been sad in so many ways, but I think it's going to be inspiring because we're going to do something that, frankly, nobody's been able to do for a long time.
It is a Trumpian thing. I'm not a personality in politics guy. I don't go to rallies. I don't watch political speeches. Because of the nature of what I do, obviously, I gather and ask my team to gather political sound bites and videos, etc. I don't want to be taken in by personality. The consequence or my decision there is then I read policy papers, I read speeches, I won't go to rallies, I will not get emotional, but I do find it funny and sort of endearing in a way that President Trump is so often ready to issue superlatives like never been done before. Well, he's not wrong. The clearing of the deck this way in the Republican primary has not happened very often, particularly with a guy who's literally Hitler and literally works for Vladimir Putin and literally walked in to the Capitol with an AR-15 and fired it into the ceiling and said, I don't need no stinking badge. People would vote for him were he in a prison cell. That should really speak loudly to Washington, D.C. President Trump's support with black voters has tripled. President Trump is in the lead. This from the New York Times, a poll they've been doing. They've been doing a series of polls. I think it's Siena University with the New York Times. President Trump leads with Hispanic registered voters. This should speak to D.C. People are right to not trust you. There's a book called The Gift of Fear by Gavin DeBecker. I reference it often. God gave you the gift of fear. When you see Washington, D.C. doing what it's doing and you feel fearful, number one, God gave you that feeling, but he also made us not to be fearful, but to be confident standing with him. Washington, D.C. would do well to understand that fear can become anger and anger can become rage. And you are, D.C., going to try to steal this thing. You are. You're already building that up. I beg you to not. Because fear can become anger and anger can become rage. Joe Biden's message to Super Tuesday voters, I'll get in trouble if he lets the press ask him questions.
I love questions. I better not start the questions. I'll get in trouble.
What's your message for Super Tuesday voters?
Everyone please move this way.
Super Tuesday, do you have a message for voters?
Thanks, come on.
Thank you so much. Thank you all.
Okay. Randy, can we run that one more time, please? Would you just run that from the top?
I better not start the questions. I'll get in trouble.
What's your message for Super Tuesday voters?
Everyone, please move this way.
Super Tuesday, do you have a message for voters?
Thanks, come on.
Thank you so much. Thank you all.
So the gaggle of young women screaming, thank you, thank you, thank you, are told to do that. There's advanced people. Sometimes they're called body people. So advanced people get to the scene first. They assess who's in the room. They go and give the great man a list of names, and they'll give him these little note cards, and the note cards will say, okay, here's who's seated in the front row. You met this person at a fundraiser in Chicago. They just did a max out donation to the DNC, so make sure you go shake hands. And so the great man would walk up and go, oh, Richard Jones, I think, Chicago we met, and your wife, Julie. That's all coached. That's advanced work. Then there's body work. And body work are the people who stalk a great man, like the figurehead, and steer him to his next appointment. But they have a very, very, very important role with the figurehead, and that is to make sure that he is never allowed to engage without his notes. I was just reading a piece from a a woman who works at the American Enterprise Institute who can't stand President Trump, and I'm not recalling her name, but she comes out and says that behind the scenes, Democrats are telling her the figurehead cannot say anything other than the notes in front of him. So utterly sad and frightening, except we're not to have a spirit of fear. So a note to DC, you are going to either prop this guy up with Adderall and cocaine and speeches, and that I'm guessing at. I'm guessing. I don't want to bear false witness, but we've all seen the difference when he's able to cook through a debate in a half an hour, 40 minutes, and on a daily basis. You are lying on a monumental level. And I will tell you that everything, every single thing you're whispering in the dark about hoodwinking America, trying to, everything you whisper will one day be shouted from the rooftops. Everything you scheme, God knows every detail, and it should concern you that he knows your motives. As I speak those words, I always want to remind myself that I'm sure there's a massive, big, huge forest of logs sticking out of my eye while I'm talking about the specks and others. So I do ask the Lord to search me. Joe Biden miraculously collected his sharp, clear, and concise thoughts, behind closed doors, of course, and has them sent to the press to be read for him after the results of Super Tuesday, read by Rachel Maddow.
We just got a statement from President Biden on the Super Tuesday election results. May I read it to you?
Please.
Tonight's results leave the American people with a clear choice. Are we going to keep moving forward, or will we allow Donald Trump to drag us backwards into the chaos, division, and darkness that defined his term in office? 4 years ago, I ran because of the existential threat Donald Trump posed to the America we all believe in. Since then, we've made enormous progress. 15 million jobs, wages rising faster than inflation, taking on big pharma and the gun lobby, and winning. But we have more to do. If Donald Trump returns to the White House, all of this progress is at risk. He's driven by grievance and grift, focused on his own revenge and retribution, not the American people. He's determined to destroy our democracy, rip away fundamental freedoms like the ability for women to make their own healthcare decisions, and pass another round of billions of dollars in tax cuts for the wealthy, and he'll do or say anything to put himself in power. Today, millions of voters across the country made their voices heard, showing that they are ready to fight back against Donald Trump's extreme plan.
I can't stand it anymore, Randy. Stop, stop. I can't stand it. Stop. Yeah, he sat down and typed that out. Oh, my goodness, the lies, the lies. This is Jen Psaki and Rachel Maddow mocking Virginia voters for the concerns about the border.
I mean, if you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yeah. Again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia.
What?
It does have a border with West Virginia, and people have TVs, and not everyone is a victim of the information silo system, being siloed into only some information. Some people can see the trees within the forest, the trees being, wow, there are 22 congressional seats that exist solely because of illegal immigration, full stop. Those are congressional seats that belong to illegal immigrants. So when we know that, and we know that people can see those things, the mocking, Jen Psaki and Rachel Maddow, I'm shaking my head in sadness for you. I really don't think you know what you're doing. I really don't think you know what you're welcoming. And I really don't think that you know that God sees every motive. Speaking of the Lord, we'll get down to some very serious spiritual business in the next segment. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. appreciate you listening. I'm Todd Herman, and this is The Disciples View. I was speaking the other day about with young men. I'm honored to work with young men in a couple of different ministry settings through our church. And I was talking about being strong and courageous. And what does it mean to be strong and courageous? Because the Bible calls on us to be strong and courageous, calls on men to be strong and courageous. So what does that mean in a modern setting? It doesn't mean being able to go beat someone up, although we as men really are supposed to be able to defend the young ones and our wives. We really are designed to be able to do that. And I do think that we should keep ourselves in good health and steward the bodies God gave us, if, God forbid, we need to do that. But there's also this aspect of being strong in what? You know, I'm going to do a thing that's probably wildly stupid of me. End of September, I've committed to go to an event called Seal Fit. This is a small version, very, very small version of what's part of what Navy SEALs go through. It's modeled after Hell Week. Forget the language. That's what it's called. The whole point of this is, as I've talked to friends of mine who have become Navy SEALs or BUDS instructors, the whole point of it is to break you physically. Like, they're going to break you. If you show up and you can run a mile in the sand at 7 minutes, they're going to make you run it in 6:30. The coaches get together and say, okay, we need to break this guy. So far we haven't. What do we do? Why do they do that? Because one of the things they're looking for is, do you have resilience? Can you bounce back? It's pretty axiomatic. I'm told, I've never served, but I'm told by friends of mine who've been through SEAL training, or specifically a friend of mine who was a BUDS instructor, that it is often the really successful jocks, undefeated wrestlers, really successful football players, who wash out. Why? Because they're not used to losing. So when the BUDS instructors get together and say, wow, this guy's physically gifted, how are we going to break him? That once broken, they can't come back. They haven't developed the skills to come back. So I'm doing this to honor God's, the fact that God gave me a love of hard work, hard physical work. I'm doing this to meet my limit and to hope that the Holy Spirit sees me through it. Believing He will. I want it to be to the honor of God. But certainly, I'm going to be physically broken. So how do I continue? We're going to face spiritual battle on that level. And I've been talking to these young men about this. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, it says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So being strong for what? Well, from what? Being strong because we stand with Christ. For what? For the kingdom. Those are very big things. Why are you doing this? For the kingdom. How do you think you'll have the strength to do it? Because God is with me. In the case of the SEAL Fit thing I'm committed to do, I already paid the money. It's a lot of money, by the way, a lot of God's money. They stress. You better know your why. If you don't have a strong reason to get through this, you won't. It's not enough to say, I want to see if I can do it. You already failed. You have to have a very strong why. So I've stated my whys. Now I need to internalize them and make them huge. Huge. So that when you're on your second hour of a plank on a beach being sprayed with water, your why is why you continue. Spiritually, our why needs to be for the kingdom. We're building a kingdom and we're trying to bring as many people as we can with us. We're trying to be the rescue rafts. My why? I don't want my daughter to live in eternity apart from me. More importantly, apart from God. That's a why. So I can liken the physical struggle I'm going to face, because they will break me, to this. And I hope that by getting through that, I can say, okay, I got through that. I can get through what's coming. If I can get through the physical battle, the mental battle, of course I can get through the spiritual battle, because God will be right there with me. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Of course, Joshua earlier was quoting Deuteronomy. So I've been talking with young men about what it is to be strong and courageous. What's the best model? I mean, I'm going to be down there. This is in California. I'm going to be amongst some of the physically strongest people I'll ever meet. I will be the oldest. In all likelihood, I'll be far older. So in that company, how do I be strong? Well, I realize I'm not. Only God's going to see me through that. If I truly make it for the glory of God, he's going to see me through it. So how do I make it for the glory of God? I turn it into a spiritual training system, because we're going to face some things. Unless you're very young, and probably very old, unless you're very old, you will be told, stop speaking the word of God in this lifetime. You will be. That's not even a guess. The separate country of Washington State has a bill that if it hits the desk of the dictator of that state, Jay Inslee, he will sign it. And it will pay people up to $2,000 per incident for reporting bias speech to the attorney general. So you report on someone who said, yeah, marriage is between a man and a woman. Boom, bias speech, report it to the attorney general. You could get up to $2,000, and the cops will knock on the door of that person. The cops will knock on the door. They'll be forced to. Now, if you're a cop and you're told to do that, you need to resign. You can't do that and remain godly. Can't do it. You have to resign. Cops who don't resign, because most won't, are going to show up and say, hey, I know this is silly. We have to do this. Did you say this to these people? And a lot of people are going to fold. That's just the beginning. We've talked about Canada. I think we mentioned it yesterday. C-63, this bill that will put you in prison for the rest of your life and take $50,000 away from you if the authorities figure out that what you said might cause someone to commit genocide, which is insane. That you speaking might cause genocide. $50,000 and life in prison. Well, what might cause genocide? Well, saying, for instance, that God will return to judge. Book of Revelation, that sounds pretty genocide-y. There's this. Liberty University has been fined a record $14 million for safety violations, the federal government charging them with this. This is the same federal government that is allowing the cartels to traffic children to sex traffickers. In fact, we're paying for that. This is the same federal government who is bankrolling the destruction of cities to change the electoral college structure. But yeah, they're very concerned about safety of people. This was some women had reported that Liberty University might have created a circumstance where sexual assault might have been more likely. So they're fining them $14 million. This is the same federal government who is purposely putting men into women's prisons where women have been raped. That's not about safety. It's about attacking a Christian university, hoping they can get it to fold. So when I'm talking to these young men about being spiritually strong, strong and courageous, I mean, choose your model. The model is Jesus Christ. Jesus, when asked, should we pay our taxes? You know what the Lord Jesus did. Show me a coin. Oh, whose picture is that? That's Caesar. Oh, okay. Well, if it's Caesar's, render unto the Caesars that which is his, and unto God that which is his. Perfect answer, of course. Pontius Pilate said, hey, Jesus, don't you know I have the ability to kill you or not? Jesus says, you have no authority over me but that which my Father grants. He didn't back down. He faced unspeakable punishment for 3 hours on a cross that none of us could stomach. He did it for you. You're going to get fired. Some of you are going to be fired because you refuse to stop speaking the word of God. You're going to be fired. They're going to come for you. My suggestion is to start doing hard things now, to get good at it. There's a part of our brain that grows when we do things we don't want to do. In other words, it becomes stronger. You're not going to want to be fired, but many of you will be. I'm not claiming to be a prophet at all. I'm not. I'm simply looking at the patterns. There's an author and messianic rabbi named Jonathan Cahn, and he's written a book called The Return of the Gods, the small g gods, the demons, as it were. This is part of a conversation he had with thestream.org. He said, if we want to understand what's happened in the last century of America, we started to say, let's take God out of here. Well, this is all back. It's pagan. It's pagan repossession. This is an important point. He says it's pagan repossession. He says of the biblical times, there were demons we read about. One of them, he points out, is called the Enchantress. Quoting him, she was the goddess of sexuality, of sexual immorality. Well, that's taken over America as we turn away from God. But it says in her ancient inscriptions, I am woman, I am man. She says she has the power to, it says in her inscription, turn a man into a woman and a woman into a man. This is what is in our culture, this spirit. We have to stand strong and courageous against this. Again, the model is Jesus Christ, who banished demons and then said to us, when you take me as your Lord and Savior, you agree to be changed by me, I will bring to you a helper, the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of heaven will indwell itself in your body, and you too will have the ability to cast out demons. In the delegated power of Jesus Christ, not in our power, in his, that delegated power. We need to practice this. I keep myself in fairly good physical condition for a guy who's going to be 59 when I start my seal fit experience. 59. I will have just turned 59. So I keep myself in fairly good physical condition, and I could give you the statistics. It sounds prideful, so I don't want to give the statistics, but I'm likely in the top 5% of physical fitness for my age. So what? When a group of trainers and coaches in that facility get together and say, hey, let's break the old man first, they're going to want to do that. They don't want me dragging down the group. I guarantee they've already looked at this and said, okay, we need to get this guy out of the way. We need to test him hard because he could drag down the cadre. Well, I can be physically as prepared as I want to. If I'm not mentally prepared, if I don't have a strong why, if I don't recognize that apart from preparation and practice, I'm not going to make this. So as in shape as I keep myself, I have to turn it up. By the time I go down there, I will have to have done probably 4 months of 3 to 5 workouts every single day. It's a lot of volume. We need to practice banishing demons, learn how to do it. Bible tells us. We need to practice putting on the armor of God. The Bible tells us what it is and how to do it. And we need to practice saying no. Because of the lifestyle I lead, I hang out with a lot of young people who are half my age, because fitness is my thing. And it's a gift to be able to work out with these guys. because they push me. Their culture is different. It's very, very different. Inside of a gym culture, it's not unusual for a guy and a girl to work out together. Just saw the yesterday. It's not unusual for my coach to grab someone who she coaches in her class and say, hey, want to hit this with me? Male or female? It's not any kind of immorality. It's just the culture. And a lot of these young women in their 30s don't think it's weird to say, hey, we should go hiking sometime together as friends. And I have to say, I can't. I can't do that. Well, we can't be friends. No, we can absolutely be friends. And we can hang out with other people and in the gym. But no, I could never go hiking alone with you. And I've had to explain to them why. Do you not trust yourself? Yes, I do. And I know how Satan works. I know he hides in good. I know he doesn't particularly care if you go out and have an affair. That's never comes and jumps in front of you and says, hey, have an affair. He jumps in front of you and says, hey, replace what should be given to your wife mentally with this time with this woman. And then let's work from there. Part of being strong and courageous is practicing saying no to stay within the guardrails that God laid out for us so that we can, well, become holy like him. We'll continue with the Tower Babbling. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. I really thank you for listening to AFR and supporting us. It is a vital thing to do because we get an opportunity to reach into people's lives with live radio that does not exist in podcasting. People have to make a choice, open up the app, choose a podcast, go listen to it. It doesn't come at you. I love podcasting. I do 2.5 hours of material every single weekday. It's now on video, by the way. If you like, you can go to video.thetoddhermanshow.com, video.thetoddhermanshow.com. That's pay for a service. That's 27 cents a day. Or you can get the free version of it. Always be free because really it's about the word of God with politics. Open up the podcast app on your phone. Search for The Todd Herman Show. Get that and just listen to it. We at AFR have the opportunity to reach into people's lives because live radio is something that sometimes people accidentally come upon. And knowing how God works wouldn't surprise me at all if there's a bunch of rental cars out there tuned to this, or you get in, use your dad's pickup truck and going somewhere. And gosh, what's dad listening to? Oh, yeah, conservative talk show. I like that. He's talking about Donald Trump. And wait, there's a demon, an enchantress that explains why all my friends suddenly think that men are women and women are men. Wow. Thank you, God Almighty, for the airwaves. Your financial support makes that possible. So we appreciate you listening and financially supporting us. We have an audience of one, that's God, and a family of many, that's you. Thank you. We talked in the opening segment about Super Tuesday. It was obviously a foregone conclusion. Nikki Haley never had a chance. She did her job. She stayed in. She cost Donald Trump money. She helped distract him from being able to campaign against Joe Biden, just like the court cases are doing that, draining him of resources. They're trying to stress him out. So I thought it'd be worthwhile to remember way back when Donald Trump was useful to the mockingbirds, as the supposed patsy being set up to lose to Mrs. Bill Clinton, the mockingbirds loved him. Then something happened.
Joining us on the phone, the front runner, the Republican race for president, Donald Trump.
We've known you for a very long time. I've even told people on this show that I've called you up and I advised you early on, stop picking fights with people. You ignore all my advice and then you go up 30 points in the polls.
I will share the moment of bonding that occurred when Mr. Trump walked into the room and said, hey, Heilman, we should like each other. We're both German.
Okay. One thing I have learned, if you're going to be a good governor or a good president, you have to have a short memory. Donald, if he's punched, punches back, is a very short memory. He's always looking for friends. And that's the one thing that always shocks me in politics. People that, you know, can forget what happened before and say, let's get together later.
Donald Trump, thank you very much.
Is there really one person voting for
that
guy?
Not just foreign languages.
How stupid would you have to be?
Foreign.
He can't complete a sentence. He can't complete a thought. He talks about Crooked Joe.
Like, think about what he's going to say.
Does
somebody
prepare?
Give him a little piece of paper or something? Because that's clear he doesn't. He doesn't even think.
Well, he looks so lost and confused. He jumbles his words. He tries to read a little bit.
He's trying to be nasty.
Trying to be nasty. But when he does that fifth grade, or really five-year-old taunt, Newsom? Is that his name, Newsom? I mean, talk about losing about 18 miles off your...
That's how they did it. You can't have integrity and flip on a dime that way. So they're not pretending to have integrity. They'll talk next week again. And I'm doing a video series about this, about something I really believe the government is doing. They'd be stupid to not do it. They pay for all this propaganda. I really think they're targeting that propaganda to individuals. That sounds weird, doesn't it? Except it's doable. I've done it. Oh, I ran in a big tech, a big data company. I sold to a big ad agency. God let me do that. I know how to do that. Surprised it took me this long to think they're doing it as well. Get to the Tower Babbling in a second. Just a couple of things about our safest, most secure election in history. Clark County apparently has been found to have deleted election records, which would be illegal. This is a new audit. Why would you delete election records? They're taking up too much space. California is continuing to lie about safe and secure elections in that state, where it is almost an always occurrence that people get 5 or 6 ballots. So often, I've listeners email this to me. Now, it happened again. We got 5 or 6 ballots. But they've opened the first so-called transgender voting center. Because men who want to pretend to be women need their own place to vote. This is a state that runs an $80 billion deficit. But man, they're laser focused on the important things. So wise. We thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents The Tower of Babbling.
I got hairy legs that turn that turn blonde in the sun. I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
Oh, gosh, again, I hear that soundbite, and I think in an ordinary grandpa, that's endearing, but with the sniffer in chief, forgive me, not exactly so. 3 soundbites here that I think back up my belief that God does allow these people to be in charge so we can look and say, honestly, these are the kings? Why don't we choose God? First soundbite, the disgraced so-called Attorney General of the Obama-Harris-Soros regime, Merrick Garland, says any steps to make sure only legal citizens get to vote are very, very, very bad things.
The right to vote is still under attack. And that is why the Justice Department is fighting back. That is why one of the first things I did when I came into office was to double the size of the voting section of the Civil Rights Division. That is why we are challenging efforts by states and jurisdictions to implement discriminatory, burdensome, and unnecessary restrictions on access to the ballot, including those related to mail-in voting, the use of drop boxes, and voter ID requirements. That is why we are working to block the adoption of discriminatory redistricting plans that dilute the vote of black voters and other voters of color.
No, let's unpack that just a tiny little bit. Just scratch it at the surface. So Merrick Garland does not want to dilute the votes of black people. Merrick Garland wants to and is welcoming 9 million illegal immigrants being placed into 43 cities around our country, shifting the Electoral College so that there are 22 congressional seats that belong only to illegal immigrants. Meanwhile, President Trump leads in Hispanic voters, according to a new poll, and has tripled support among black voters and black people. Like, aldermen in Chicago are calling this all out. But yes, Merrick Garland is deeply, deeply passionate about not diluting the votes of black people. Let's just unpack it just a tiny bit more. It's so unfortunate that black people can't get driver's licenses. They don't know how. You can't go to a DMV if you're black. How would you ever do that? You'd need access to the internet. Then you'd have to be able to use a computer. Of course, black people do this. Do you remember the audio we played a few weeks ago of black people laughing? It's like, of course I have a driver's license. Of course I know where the DMV is. I'm a human being. None of it stands to any form of scrutiny, but he's so wise. Second soundbite in today's Tower of Babbling. This is the disgraced so-called head of what we're to pretend is the Department of Homeland Security. Alejandro Mayorkas pretends the Obama-Harris-Soros regime is tough on border security.
Is it the policy of the Biden administration to allow as many migrants to come across the border in order to change the political dynamics, the electoral dynamics of America?
Of course not. And the facts indicate that that is absolutely false. Since May of this year, of last year, we have removed or returned more individuals than in any year since 2015, and we haven't even run 12 months.
Meanwhile, you've admitted three times as many. Mr. Mayorkas, pardon me, director, wasn't he impeached? Well, yeah, he was, but the Senate's not going to take that up. I mean, it says in the Constitution they shall, but I mean, that's just the Constitution. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Democrat Senator Chris Murphy tripped and fell on the truth about the Obama-Harris-Soros regime's open border diktats.
Why did it take so long for the president to address this crisis at the border in terms of the flow of migrants?
Well, I don't know that that's fair. In the first week that the president was in office, he sent to Congress a comprehensive immigration and border reform bill.
But wait a minute. That bill was to provide a path to citizenship for the 11 million undocumented citizens, residents here in the country. It was not a border security bill. It was also
an asylum reform bill, right? And reforming the asylum system.
It didn't tighten the asylum rules the way yours did.
It changes the calculus for people coming into the country. And the president instituted a very tough new regulation that does stop people at the border, does change the asylum calculation.
So he kind of admitted it, didn't he? Kind of fell backwards into the truth. That's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
A silent mouth is sweet to hear.
On a Disciple's View.
We often wrap up this program with a personal observation from me. It's a trade. You spend such time with us. You're so kind to do that, that I'd like to share with you a little bit about myself so you can have some knowledge about the rodeo clown who hosts this show. God's given this opportunity to do that. I attend a discipleship group at our church. This one happens to be run by my friend and senior pastor, Jim. And were I in a different business, I would have started my own to meet with men and to help them grow in faith as I'm growing. I'm new at it. There's people who are more new than me. That's the whole point of these discipleship meetings. And I kept getting bugged. Dude kept bugging me to get together with him. I'm kidding, not really bugging me. He texted me and said, hey, I'd like to get together. He said this at a discipleship meeting. I'd really like to get together and have lunch with you. My schedule's so bizarre right now. We just started the video service and God built this TV studio. And so it's just been a really weird time. I told him that. I've had shoulder surgery. I'm in PT a lot. So it's a busy time. He kept texting me. I felt horrible. I don't like texting. I prefer to talk in person. I kept feeling horrible. And God just spoke into me and said, you got to have lunch with this guy. It's insane. What are you doing? He's a brother. So I spoke to him in the discipleship group and said, hey, you know what? I am so sorry I've been hard to get to. Could we please schedule dinner before church on Thursday? And he and I had dinner. Such a blessing to talk to this guy. He'd been a drug addict and other forms of addicts for many years. Got himself into a teen challenge program for about, a youth challenge. He wasn't a teen, a youth challenge for about 3 years. They ended up hiring him. He worked for them for about 3 years. And then he and his wife, he'd recovered. They'd kind of moved on and he'd been working in another arena and they bought a house together. They were getting ready to move in. And God spoke to them and said, that house is not for you. You're going to house people there who are coming out of prison and addiction. This is what you're going to do. This is what I've equipped you to do, and it's what you will do. And so they're obedient servants of the Lord Jesus. He came to Jesus during that youth experience, in fact. It was a Christian camp. So they did that. And now, 13 years later, they're in many, many states. They run an incredibly godly organization that helps bring men to the Lord, men and women. It equips them to live life. So, but why the dinner? I shared with this brother the success, what God has done in the life of a man I've been honored to mentor, a man who made dreadful mistakes, paid for them, and came out of prison determined to never go back. He's given his life to Jesus. And he helps mentor other men. To my brother who runs this facility, this organization, I mentioned this story about my friend. I used to mentor him. I do to a degree still, but he's a friend. And he said this, oh my goodness, I think he's the guy I need. What do you mean? Well, he was doing all these tasks at the halfway house and did them well. I said, yeah, super well. He's still with God. Absolutely. He's still clean. Yeah. Todd, I think I need to hire this guy. How's $60,000 or $70,000 a year plus a company vehicle and healthcare sound? I would appreciate it if you would pray for my friend. His name is Brad. That he would get this job. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Until God decides you and I can spend time together again, may the peace of the Lord that surpasses all understanding rest upon you and your families. On behalf of AFR and Randy, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.